Center. I want to welcome everyone that's watching online today. And we're going to pick up where we left off last week after a little review. But first, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for your mercy, your grace, your blessings, for the many things you do for us. We can never begin to repay you for the salvation and healing that you've made available to us. We can only love you, serve you, accept it, and walk in it. You are our healer, our shepherd, our provider, our peace, our righteousness, and our victory over every attack the enemy throws our way, including against our health and our bodies. And Lord, we just praise you and thank you this morning. The word says to come into your courts with thanksgiving and praise. So we enter with thanksgiving and praise this morning. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, how's your hearing this morning? Good. Okay. Getting better every day, right?
Yes.
Well, we're going to review a little bit of part one last week for the benefit of those that weren't here or those may be online today that weren't here. And then we'll get into a little more along those lines. Colossians 3:16 says, "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord." Are you singing with grace in your hearts? Yeah. Are you singing with grace in your hearts?
Yes.
Yeah. I can hear you now. Thank you. Thank you. That's one of the keys to answered prayer, to come into his courts with thanksgiving and praise and singing. How do we get the word into us? By hearing it or seeing it. By hearing it spoken, preached, read aloud, or by reading it for ourselves. Or having someone else read it. And by meditating on the word, and it's very important for our healing. In Proverbs chapter 20, verse 12 says, "The hearing ear and the seeing eye, the Lord hath made even both of them." God created our ears and our sense of hearing and our eyes and our abilities to see, and these are marvelous and intricate gifts. Now, we've been looking at hearing last week. We also looked at what to hear. In Mark chapter 4, verse 24, Jesus concluded a parable, and he said to them, "Take heed what you hear. With what measure ye meet, it shall be measured unto you, and to unto you that hear shall more be given." Take heed what you hear. Are you hearing doubt, unbelief? Are you hearing evil reports? Or are you hearing good news, encouragement, gospel truths, good reports? This is important in the arena of hearing, what you listen to, what you listen to. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 4, said, "He taught me also and said to me, let thine heart retain my words, keep my commandments and live." And Proverbs 4, verse 10 says, "Hear, O son, and receive my sayings, and the years of thy life shall be many." Those two verses imply good health throughout life. If we hear the word of God, retain it. Excuse me. We also looked at what not to hear. John 10, verse 8 says, "All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them." We're the sheep of his pasture. How do you know who the thieves and robbers are?
Yeah.
Well, those that speak untruth, or half-truth, outright lies, evil reports, gossip, rumors, and false information, whose words don't line up with the word of God. Well-meaning people can speak doubt and unbelief over you or into your life. Don't let them. That will rob you. Rob you of your peace of mind, your healing, whether intentional or not. In Titus chapter 3, verse 9. But avoid foolish questions and genealogies and contentions and striving about the law, for they are unprofitable and vain. You can get off on all kinds of rabbit trails with those kinds of things. Jesus said, narrow is the way that leads to eternal life, and broad is the way that leads to destruction. And I would submit to you that that broad way to destruction has lots of exits for rabbit trails to get off and get you confused, wandering around in the wrong places, and miss it. So, we also talked about how to hear. In Luke chapter 8, verse 18, Jesus said, and it's a variation on the verse I quoted from Matthew a few minutes ago, take heed therefore how you hear, for whosoever hath, to him shall be given, whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken even that which he seems to have. Take heed how you hear. Are you hearing eagerly, gladly? Are you receiving? Are you thankful for it? Or are you skeptical, doubtful, questioning, or fearful? Listening negatively or passively? All these influence our understanding, believing, and application, and our healing, or our ability to receive and keep healing. James chapter 1, verse 19. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. Swift to hear, slow to speak. In other words, listen more than we talk. You got two ears and one mouth, so use your ears twice as much as you use your mouth, at least. And then James also tells us in chapter 1, verse 22, be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. So put what you hear into action in your life. Put it into practice. We talked about who to hear, and that's important. Isaiah chapter 30, verse 21 says, and thine ears shall hear a word behind thee, saying, this is the way, walk ye in it, when you turn to the right hand and when you turn to the left. The Holy Spirit's our teacher and guide if we allow him to be and if we listen to him. And sometimes we might practice selective hearing and just listen for what we want to hear rather than what we're supposed to. Don't let your flesh get in the way and rob you that way. At the transfiguration of Jesus, when Peter, James, and John were present with him on the mountain, Matthew chapter 17, verse 5, while he spake, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and behold, a voice out of the cloud which said, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. God spoke directly to Peter, James, and John on that mountain. And you can find similar accounts in the other Gospels. If God commanded them to hear Jesus, then we had better take that to heart and hear him also. And in John chapter, I've lost my place, sorry. John chapter 14, verse 24. Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come in unto him and make our abode with him. He that loveth me not, keepeth not my sayings, and the word which ye hear is not mine, but the Father's which sent me. And certainly we want to listen to the Lord himself. Amen? Amen. Who not to listen to? In 1 Timothy chapter 4, verses 1 and 2. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron. Well, Jesus and the apostles that wrote epistles that form up the New Testament warned about this threat multiple occasions. And how about false information pertaining to healing? Yeah. Oh, it's flu season. Go get vaccinated. Take this pill. Come to see this doctor. Whatever. Who not to listen to? 1 John chapter 4, verse 1. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. False teachers were and are a threat to the church and to believers. How do you tell if they're false? If what they're saying doesn't line up with the Word of God, throw it out. Throw it out. And lastly, someone not to listen to, Proverbs chapter 14 in the Amplified, verse 7, leave the presence of a short-sighted fool, for you will not find knowledge or hear godly wisdom from his lips. And if you have trouble identifying the characteristics of fools, read the book of Proverbs. It's got plenty of advice in there about what to look for. And this is where we stopped last week. One of the more important uses of our hearing and our speaking is our conversations with God, our prayers. Many psalms begin with a plea to God to hear our prayer. For example, Psalm 4, verse 1. Hear me when I call, O God of my righteousness. Thou hast enlarged me when I was in distress. Have mercy upon me and hear my prayer. Wow. Do we have that in the Amplified? Yeah. Might have left that off the list. In the Amplified, it reads, Answer me when I call, O God of my righteousness. You have freed me when I was hemmed in and relieved me when I was in distress. Be gracious to me and hear and respond to my prayer. Other examples would be Psalm 54, verse 2, Psalm 61, and 64, verse 1 in each case. That's Psalm 54, 61, and 64. Those are not the only places that some plea like that's made. Our prayers are a two-way conversation. We need to be listening, using our ears, our spiritual ears, and at times our physical ears. And we need to clean up our act. Psalm 85, verse 8, the King James says, I will hear what God the Lord will speak. For he will speak peace unto his people and to his saints, but let them not turn again to folly. Well, Psalm 66, verse 18 is even more blunt. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. The word translated iniquity could be translated misfortune, unrighteous, false, evil, unjust, or wickedness. We cannot hold on to grudges, bitterness, or pet sins and expect God to listen to us or for us to hear from him. So we have to clean up our act. These things would open the door to the devil. And what does he want to do when he gets in? Whether it's a little crack or it's open wide, and he has to worm his way in or he barges in, he comes to steal, kill, and destroy.
That's right.
Steal your peace, steal your money, destroy relationships, destroy your health, destroy your life, kill you if he can.
Yeah.
So we want to keep him out and clean up our act. Psalm 4, verse 3 says, But I know that the Lord has set apart him that is godly for himself. The Lord will hear when I call. The Lord will hear when I call. But the key is they're godly persons, which gets back to cleaning up our act. And if you stumble and fall and miss it, which we all do from time to time, repent. He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins when we repent. Proverbs 15, verse 29. Excuse me. The Lord is far from the wicked, but he heareth the prayer of the righteous, which to the same point we've been making. But in the Amplified translation, it's a little wordier. The Lord is far from the wicked and distances himself from them. But he hears the prayer of the consistently righteous, that is, those with spiritual integrity and moral courage. I want to read you now an account from the Old Testament. I'm sure you remember that Solomon built the temple that his father David had accumulated building materials for, but was not supposed to build. So Solomon built it. And when it was finished, they had a dedication ceremony and a feast and all of that. And he led the congregation in prayer. In 2 Chronicles chapter 7, there'll be a familiar verse in the middle of this because we've been hearing a lot about it lately. 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 12, we will begin. And the Lord appeared to Solomon by night and said unto him, I have heard thy prayer, and I have chosen this place to myself for an house of sacrifice. If I shut up heaven that there be no rain, or if I command the locusts to devour the land, or if I send pestilence among my people, if my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land. Now mine eyes shall be open and mine ears attend unto the prayer that is made in this place. As we've been hearing verse 14 for weeks now on Wednesday nights, if my people, part of the prayer series. Well, it's pretty direct advice or command, if you will, that God gave to Solomon. Pretty good advice for us today. Turn from our wicked ways. And I pray that our leaders and the leaders of other countries on this earth will do the same. Will come to that point. God told Solomon what the people of Israel, including the king, needed to do. And the same applies to us today. Conversations with God. Elijah had several interesting conversations with God over the years he was a prophet. And we find one in 1 Kings, in chapter 19, and begins at verse 9. Elijah had just come off the greatest victory or feat or accomplishment of his life. He'd called all the people of Israel and King Ahab and all the prophets of Baal and Ashtaroth to Mount Carmel and challenged the prophets of Baal to a contest. They would pray to Baal with an offering, you know, slaughtered an oxen or whatever animal, built an altar, put the wood there and so forth. And they prayed all day long, called on Baal, and nothing happened, to the point Elijah was teasing them, making fun of them. And then right late in the afternoon, he built a simple altar, put the sacrifice on it, and then said, bring water and pour on it. Barrels of water. And they were in the middle of a 3.5-year drought. So that water was a real sacrifice to bring up the mountain and pour all over it. And as soon as he uttered a simple prayer, God sent fire, burned up the offering, the wood, the stones, and the water. And the people, that convinced the people, the Lord, he's God. Okay. So they captured all of the 850 prophets of Baal and Asherah and executed them. And then Elijah, in the strength of the Lord, well, he prayed for rain, and here comes the rain. He told Ahab, get in your chariot and get down from here. It's going to rain. And he outran him in the strength of the Lord 20 miles to Jezreel. When Ahab told Queen Jezebel what he had done, she sent a threat to Elijah. I'm going to do the same thing to you. And he fled from that one woman and fled for his life. And he fled down into the Sinai Peninsula to Mount Horeb. Excuse me. And that's where we take up the scripture. There he came to a cave and spent the night in it. Behold, the word of the Lord came to him, and he said to him, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" "What doest thou here, Elijah?" And he said, "I have been very jealous for the Lord God of hosts, for the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenant, thrown down thine altars, and slain thy prophets with the sword. And I only am left, and they seek my life to take it away." And he said, the Lord said, "Go forth and stand upon the mount before the Lord." And behold, the Lord passed by, and a great and strong wind rent the mountains and brake in pieces the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind was an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a still small voice. And it was so, when Elijah heard it, that he wrapped his face in his mantle and went out and stood at the entering in of the cave. And behold, there came a voice unto him and said, "What doest thou here, Elijah?" Two-way conversation going on here. But what does Elijah do in the next verse? He starts complaining again. "I'm the only one left that's faithful to you, God, and they're after me to kill me." Blah, 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 blah. Elijah had to be quiet and quit complaining and attentive to hear that still small voice. The wind and the fire and the earthquake represent the noise and tumult around us in this world. We need to shut out or withdraw from the noise in order to hear that still small voice on the inside of us, spirit to spirit. And that's, we need to seek his advice and counsel in prayer, study of the word, and by meditating on it. And listen for that still small voice. A lot of the noise and tumult around us in this world may be doubt and unbelief and all of the garbage, if you will, that goes on in the world. And we talked about music too. You need to get in a quiet place. That's why we need to have a prayer room, a prayer closet, or a place we can go and get away from all of that. Jesus would take people outside the village where doubt and unbelief was rife to get them away from it and get them healed. Psalm 116, verse 1 and 2. "I love the Lord because he has heard my voice and my supplications, because he has inclined his ear unto me. Therefore will I call upon him as long as I live." That's a lifestyle. One we want to emulate, lifestyle. Call upon him as long as you live. In the Gospel of John, there's an interesting passage in chapter 5, verses 24 through 29. "Even the dead shall hear Jesus." What? I hadn't really paid much attention to this passage before. It's five verses. Beginning in verse 24 of John chapter 5. "Verily, verily," Jesus is speaking, "I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. Verily, verily," or "truly, truly, I say unto you, the hour is coming, and now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming in the which all that are in the graves shall hear his voice, and shall come forth, they that have done good unto the resurrection of life, they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. Both believers and unbelievers will hear. Jesus could be speaking of both the physically dead and the spiritually dead. Let's look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 16. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 16. I think pages are thinner than they used to be. Still not dry. Pardon me. This is from the Amplified. For the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a shout of command, with the voice of the archangel, and with the blast of the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. I don't know what the shout of command, the voice of the archangel, and the blast of the trumpet actually sound like, but if it's loud enough to wake the dead, I'm sure we'll all hear it. And we want to be sure that we are in Christ when that comes, when that happens. How important is hearing? How important is hearing? Merely hearing is not receiving into your heart. We must meditate on the word and speak it out of our mouth. And this is very important in the arena of healing. What you speak is what you get. Revelation 3:20 from the King James. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him, and he with me. We need to be listening for his knock at the door. He will not force his way in. If we're distracted with worldly things, money, possession, pursuits, we will not be able to hear him knocking at the door. We may become satisfied with the world and indifferent to God and what he offers us. And when we become to begin to feel indifferent to God, and church, and the Bible, we've begun to shut God out of our lives. Leave the door to your heart constantly open to God. Jesus leaves it up to us whether or not to open the door of our life to him. When we sense that we should turn to him, he's knocking at the door of our heart. Are we keeping him on the other side of the door with all the blessings he has for us, those blessings that include healing, eternal life, all our needs supplied, peace, and so forth? What's the door to our heart like? Is it thick, heavy, opaque? Hard to open, like the door to some medieval castle with guards inside? Or is it easy to swing open with ushers ready to open it wide? Who's at the door of our heart when Jesus comes knocking? Guards or welcoming ushers? Remember, healing came with Jesus as well as salvation. So he's bringing that with him. Psalm 119, verse 130. The entrance of thy word gives light. It giveth understanding to the simple. How does the word gain entrance to us? By seeing and hearing. We cannot taste, smell, or touch the Bible and get the word into us or get it in our heart. We can read it. We can hear the word read aloud. Can hear the word preached, you can hear the word discussed. Best way is open your Bible and read along with the speaker. And you all have the opportunity today to read along on the screen. Don't forget how to open this book and turn the pages, even if they are thin and sticky. If you read along with someone that's reading it aloud, you're double dipping, using two of your five senses, seeing and hearing. Romans 10:17, very familiar passage. So faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. In the Amplified translation, it reads, so faith comes from hearing what is told, and what is heard comes by the preaching of the message concerning Christ. In the Greek, the word hearing is akoue, and here it means the receiving of a message, something more than merely a sense of hearing. There's an interaction with the word. You make a decision. A receiving of the message. Faith is necessary for healing long term. Someone may be healed by prayer based on the faith of the person doing the praying. But if the healed person does not have faith, allows doubt and unbelief to stay around and speak to them, their healing may be lost. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing, and hearing, and hearing, and hearing. Thank God for our hearing. Don't miss Jesus knocking at the door. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and will sup with him, and he with me. He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. Would you put up slide one, please? You've all heard the little thing, hear no evil, see no evil, speak no evil.
Yeah.
Okay. And these children are illustrating it. It's a beautiful picture. We've discussed the hearing today. What to hear, what not to hear, how and who and so forth, the hearing. But also important for getting the word into us is seeing what we're reading and then what we do with it, what we speak or don't speak.
Yeah.
And so next week we're going to look at seeing and hearing, seeing and speaking. But that's about what I have for you today. It's gone a little quicker than I thought, but I want you to stand to your feet, if you will, and we'll make a confession together. Pardon me. First, I'm going to read you a passage from Proverbs, and then we're going to go into the confession. My son, attend to my words, incline thine ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thine heart, for they are life unto those that find them, and health to all their flesh. Keep thy heart without all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. So let's make a confession based on what that proverb passage tells us. God's word is health to all my flesh.
God's word is health to all my flesh.
His word is medicine to my flesh.
His word is medicine to my flesh.
I am the Lord that healeth thee.
I am the Lord that healeth thee.
Is medicine to my flesh now. I will take away from thee all sickness. Is medicine to all my flesh.
The word of God
is full of the life of God.
That life is saturating my spirit.
God's life and healing power
are in His word,
and His word is at work in me now. The word of God
is depositing the life of God
and the healing of God into my spirit.
That life and health
are spreading out of my spirit into every tissue and pore of my body,
creating health and soundness.
My body has no choice
but to respond
to the healing in the word.
It's being absorbed into me now.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing, and hearing, and hearing, and hearing. So, thank you for your time and attention this morning. If anyone here would like to have prayer, have hands laid on you, have an ache or pain, an issue you're dealing with, just come on up front and stand up against this row of chairs. And those of us on the healing team will be glad to pray for you, with you.